Hill Street High School stood proudly at the edge of town, a monument to progress and community spirit. Built in the early 1990s to accommodate the town's recent growth, it was a far cry from the crumbling 1920s edifice it replaced. The old-timers grumbled about unnecessary expenses, but even they had to admit that the new school was impressive. The building had everything a modern school could want. Its cafeteria was large and clean, with huge windows that let in plenty of natural light. The library was well-stocked, boasting not just academic tomes, but also an extensive fiction section that rivaled the town's public library. The crowning jewel was the gymnasium, complete with an indoor pool that made Hill Street the envy of neighboring districts. But perhaps the most unusual feature of the new school was its locker system. The architect, having visited the old school, was appalled by the narrow, crowded hallways made even worse by rows of lockers on each side. In a stroke of inspiration, he moved the lockers to expanded changing rooms near the gym. There was a primary changing room for each gender, plus a smaller secondary room to handle overflow. This design cleared up the hallways, allowing for more open space, better traffic flow, and room for art displays and bulletin boards. The school board had balked at first, citing increased costs, but the architect persevered. He argued passionately that the extra space was more than justified by the improved quality of life for the students. In the end, the board relented, and when the school opened, the students largely agreed that it had been the right decision. What nobody realized, how could they, was that all the care and attention poured into the school's design and construction had an unexpected effect. Somehow, through some inexplicable alchemy of intention and craft, Hill Street High School gained something like a soul of its own. It started small. The computer lab had fewer technical issues than one might expect. The cafeteria food was unusually tasty for a school. Teachers always seemed to have enough supplies, and their favorite beverages mysteriously appeared in the staff room. Litter disappeared quickly, and graffiti rarely lasted more than a day. Students and staff alike commented on how pleasant the school was, how smoothly everything ran. They attributed it to good management, to a committed janitorial staff, to simple luck. Nobody suspected that the building itself might be looking out for them. For years, everything was perfect, and the school, in its own indefinable way, was happy. But nothing lasts forever. The town's growth eventually plateaued, then began to reverse. More families moved away than moved in. Enrollment dropped, and as chance would have it, far more girls ended up leaving than boys. The primary girls' changing room grew emptier, while the boys' rooms approached capacity. The secondary girls' room stood completely abandoned, gathering dust, while the secondary boys' room overflowed. And then, one day, the unthinkable happened. A boy was assigned to the girls' room. The school was not happy. Jim Woodruff, the boy in question, was even less happy. "What do you mean my locker is in the girls' room?" he demanded, standing in the principal's office, his face a mixture of confusion and indignation. Mr. Harris, the school principal, a kind-faced man with graying temples, sighed. He'd been dreading this conversation. "The boys' changing rooms are full, Jim. I'm sorry," he explained, trying to keep his voice calm and reasonable. "Even the secondary one. We simply don't have another option. It's either take that locker or..." He paused, not wanting to issue an ultimatum. "Well, I suppose you could try to enroll in a private school." Jim's face fell. His family had just moved to town, and he knew they couldn't afford private school tuition. "But I'm not a girl," he protested, his voice cracking slightly. "Moving and starting at a new school is hard enough without everyone laughing at me." Mr. Harris leaned forward, his eyes twinkling with a hint of mischief. "If anyone laughs at you, laugh back," he suggested. When Jim didn't seem to appreciate the advice, he added, "I'll bet none of them ever got into a girl's locker room on a regular basis with the principal's permission." Despite himself, Jim cracked a smile at that. Still, as he left the office, his stomach churned with anxiety. How was he going to face his classmates? To Jim's surprise, the reaction was underwhelming. A few kids snickered when they heard about his locker assignment, but most just shrugged it off. His new friend Dan even clapped him on the back and said, "Lucky dog. Bet you'll find all sorts of interesting stuff in there." Jim rolled his eyes, but he had to admit, having an entire changing room to himself was kind of cool. Still, when he first stepped into the room, he couldn't shake the feeling that he was somewhere he shouldn't be. The room was tiny compared to the boys' area, barely larger than a classroom. It sported that odd shade of pink that only government decorators seemed to like. There were two shower stalls and four toilet cubicles. No urinals, of course. Every piece of wall that wasn't taken up by a door or a sink was occupied by lockers. Jim found his 562G2 and stuffed his schoolbooks in, along with his gym clothes. As the weeks passed, Jim grew accustomed to his unique situation, but strange things began to happen. One day, he opened his locker to find his deodorant replaced with something very floral. His soap and shampoo changed, too. "Brings hair body out to the max," the bottle read, showing a beautiful woman with long, lustrous hair. Jim was puzzled, but not overly concerned. Maybe it was some weird prank? But nobody ever mentioned it, and to be honest, the products worked well. His hair had never looked so good. The changes continued, subtle at first, but growing more noticeable. One day, Jim found a different gym outfit in his locker. The shorts were smaller, cut higher over the hips. He pondered what to do. If he wore them, he might look ridiculous, but he couldn't afford to skip class either. To his amazement, nobody commented on his new gym clothes. Was no one noticing, or did they simply not care? Jim felt relieved, but also increasingly confused. As days turned into weeks, more of Jim's clothes seemed to change. His shirts became looser in the chest, acquired floral patterns, or transformed into blouses. His jeans morphed into skirts. At first, Jim was bewildered and upset. He tried reporting the pranks, but nobody seemed to take him seriously. Gradually, though, he found himself admiring how he looked in the mirror. Jim's friend, Dan Hansen, started paying more attention to him. "You certainly look nice in that," Dan commented one day by the pool, where Jim wore a new one-piece swimsuit that had mysteriously appeared in his locker. Jim blushed, a flutter in his stomach that he couldn't quite explain. "Thanks," he mumbled. "It's just something I found." As weeks turned into months, Jim's appearance continued to change. His hair grew longer, and he found himself drawn to more feminine styles. He started using makeup, at first hesitantly, then with growing confidence. He wasn't sure why he was doing it, but it felt right somehow. Jim's parents, surprisingly, didn't seem to notice the changes, or if they did, they didn't mention them. Jim found this both relieving and oddly disappointing. One day, Jim, who had started thinking of himself as Jessica, overheard two secretaries talking about him in the school office. "Jessica came to me yesterday, all upset," one said. "She just had her first period. Can you believe it? She's a junior." Jessica froze, confused. When had that happened? She couldn't remember, yet it felt true. She hurried away, her mind reeling. That night, Jessica stood in front of her bedroom mirror, really looking at herself for what felt like the first time in months. The person staring back at her was undeniably female. Long, lustrous hair framed a face with delicate features. Curves that hadn't been there at the start of the school year were now unmistakable. "Who am I?" she whispered to her reflection. But even as she asked, she knew the answer. She was Jessica. She had always been Jessica, hadn't she? Those vague memories of being someone else, of being Jim, felt like a half-remembered dream. As the school year progressed, Jessica found herself fully embracing her identity. She joined the swim team, excelling in a sport she'd never considered before. She made new friends, girls who accepted her without question. And her relationship with Dan evolved from friendship into something more. The school buzzed with excitement as the end-of-year dance approached. Students and teachers alike seemed inexplicably happy. Few realized it was because the school itself was pleased. Order had been restored. Boys in the boys' room, girls in the girls' room, everything where it should be. Jessica picked out a beautiful gown for the dance, a shimmering blue number that matched her eyes. As she stood before the mirror in the girls' changing room on the night of the dance, she felt a moment of vertigo. Hadn't she once felt out of place here? But the feeling passed quickly, replaced by a sense of belonging. Dan knocked on the door. "Ready, Jess?" Jessica smiled, pushing away the last wisps of confusion. "Ready," she called back, grabbing her purse. As they walked into the decorated gymnasium, hand in hand, Jessica felt truly happy. She was exactly where she was meant to be, in a school that had, in its own mysterious way, helped her become her true self. The school, too, was happy. Perfect order had been achieved. Yet as the dance whirled on, a new thought began to form in its consciousness. That girl's secondary changing room was still awfully empty. The student body would do better with an even more balanced mix of girls and boys, wouldn't it? As Jessica and Dan swayed to the music, lost in each other's eyes, the school pondered. Perhaps there was still more work to be done. After all, there were quite a few boys who looked uncomfortable in their own skin, weren't there? Boys who might be happier, might fit better, as girls. The school's awareness spread through the gymnasium, unseen and unfelt by the students celebrating within. Yes, it decided, there was indeed more work to be done, and it would begin tonight. In the years to come, Hill Street High School would gain a reputation for its unusually high number of students who came out as transgender or non-binary. Sociologists would write papers about the town's progressiveness. LGBTQ plus rights groups would praise the school's supportive environment. And through it all, the school would watch and plan and subtly shape the students who passed through its halls, always working towards its own inscrutable idea of perfect balance and order. As for Jessica, she would graduate and go on to college, then to a successful career. She would marry Dan, have children, live a happy life. And if sometimes in her dreams she remembered being someone else, well, that was just a dream, wasn't it? Nothing more than a flight of fancy, best forgotten in the light of day. After all, she was Jessica. She had always been Jessica. And she was happy. The school had made sure of that.